from Cherry Hill Publishing. Soul Flame by Barbara Wood. Read by Maureen Jones. Prologue. The day had been so full of omens that even before the healer woman heard the frantic late-night knock upon her door, she knew that this night was going to be one that could change her life forever. She had been reading the portents for days. There had been her own auspicious dreams of snakes, of the moon running red with blood, and the dreams of those who came to visit her. Women, full with child, dreaming of giving birth to doves, and young virgins, seeing disturbing visions in their sleep. And then the two-headed calf had been born in the Bedouin encampment to the south of the city, and the ghost of Andrachis had been seen walking the streets at midnight, headless, and yet calling out the names of his assassins. So many signs, they could not be ignored. But who are these portents meant for? Asked the citizens of the desert city of Palmyra, as they cast glances over their shoulders. They are meant for me, thought the healer woman, not knowing how she knew. So when she heard the urgent rapping on her door shortly after moonrise, she thought, this is the hour foretold. She threw a shawl around her slender shoulders and, carrying a lamp, opened the door without first asking who stood outside. Other residents of Palmyra might fear a stranger's call, but not Mira. People came to her for medicines and spells, for relief from pain, for potions to ease their anxieties, but none came to do her evil. A man and a woman stood in the windy darkness of the threshold. The man was silver-haired, with noble features, and wore a blue cloak fastened with a gold clasp. The woman was not much more than a child, her swollen abdomen barely concealed by her billowing cape. The first thing Mira saw upon opening the door were two frightened eyes set in a pale face. The man's face. The girl's face was twisted in pain. Mira stood back and let the wind usher them in. She had to fight to close the door, the lamplight dancing wildly on the walls, her long black braids flying out behind her. When the door was secure, she turned to find the young woman sinking to her knees. It is her time, the man said unnecessarily, struggling to hold her up in his arms. Setting down the lamp, Mira nodded toward the pallet in the corner and helped him lay the young woman down. They said in town that you would help, he began. Her name, said Mira. I must know her name. His eyes looked haunted. Is it necessary? Mira could feel his fear. It washed over her like a winter rain. When she paused to look into his terrified eyes, Mira laid a hand on his arm and murmured, No matter. The goddess knows it. So, Mira thought as she quickly set to work. They are fugitives, running from someone or something. Wealthy, by the look of their fine clothes, and they have come a great distance, strangers to Palmyra. She's my wife, the man said, standing in the center of the room, uncertain what to do. He was studying the midwife. When he had come to this house on the outskirts of the city, he had expected to find a crone, but this woman was beautiful, and of an age he could not guess. He waved his hands helplessly. Smooth hands, Mira noted in the flickering lamplight. Long and beautiful hands, like the man himself, who was tall and handsome and refined. Roman, she concluded. A very important Roman. She wished there were time for the proper preparations, to read the stars, to consult the astrological charts, but there was none. The birth was imminent. The man watched the healer woman as she hastily prepared the hot water and linens. Back at the inn, the hosteler had spoken of her in reverent tones. She was a sorceress, he had said. Her magic was more powerful than even that of Ishtar. So why, wondered the Roman as he looked around the small room, did she appear to live meanly, without even a slave to answer a late-night knock at her door? Hold her hands, said Mira, as she knelt between the young wife's legs. Which is her god? He paused before saying, We worship Hermes. They come from Egypt, Mira thought, nodding in satisfaction. She herself was Egyptian, and therefore intimately acquainted with Hermes, the savior god. So she leaned forward and traced the sign of the cross of Hermes over the supine young woman, touching forehead, breast, and shoulders. Then Mira settled back on her heels and crossed herself as well. Hermes was a powerful god. It was a difficult delivery. The young woman's hips were narrow. She cried out frequently. Her husband knelt solicitously at her side, pressing a cloth to her forehead, securing her hands and murmuring to her in the Nile Valley dialect Mira herself had spoken many years ago. It fell now like sweet music upon her ears. I have been away for too long, she thought, as she braced herself for the arrival of the baby. Perhaps before I die, the goddess will grant me a last glimpse of my green river. It is a boy, she said at last, sucking gently at the tiny nose and mouth. The Roman hovered close, his shadow falling over the baby like a protective blanket. The young wife, relieved of her labor, sighed deeply. After Mira had tied and severed the cord, she placed the baby at its mother's breast and said softly, You must say his names now. Protect him, little mother, before the desert jinn try to steal him away. With dry lips pressed to the pink shell of his ear, the young woman whispered her son's soul name, the one known only to him and the gods. And then, aloud and in a weak voice, she said softly, Helios, his life name. Satisfied, Mira returned to her task, for the placenta must be delivered next. But as the wind outside rose to a howl and the doors and shutters rattled, she saw in the oblique light something that alarmed her. A hand, tiny and blue-white, was emerging from the birth canal. A twin. Again, signing the cross of Hermes and adding the sacred sign of Isis, Mira steadied herself for the second birth. She prayed the young woman had the strength to see it through. It seemed now the jinn were indeed at the door and trying to steal away the two new lives, so ferociously did the wind shriek. Mira's small one-room house was of solid mud brick, and yet it shuddered and shook as if it would topple at any moment. The young woman screamed with the wind. Her cheeks were crested scarlet. Perspiration dampened her hair to her scalp. In desperation, Mira tied an amulet around the poor girl's neck, a carved jade frog sacred to Hecate, goddess of midwives. Strangely, the infant boy, still cradled against its mother's breast, had not yet made a sound. At long last, Mira was able to guide the second baby onto the waiting sheets. With profound relief, she saw that it lived. But as she was cutting the cord, she heard a sound outside mingle with the wind, a sound that should not have been there. Mira brought her head up sharply and saw that the Roman was staring at the door. Horses, he said. Soldiers. Then there was thunderous banging on the door, not of someone knocking to come in, but of someone trying to break it down. They have found us, he said simply. Mira was up on her feet in an instant. Come, she hissed, and ran for the narrow door at the end of the room. She did not look back. did not see the red cloaked soldiers burst in. Without thinking, she plunged into the darkness of the storage lean-to that abutted her house and, with the newborn baby girl clasped wet and naked to her breast, climbed into the corn crib, curling herself as small as she could under the husks. As she huddled in the dark night of the crib, her skin pricked by the corn, barely breathing, Mira listened to the stamp of hob-nailed sandals on the hard-packed dirt floor. There was a brief dialogue in Greek, a staccato demand and a reply, the whistle of metal through the air, two sharp cries, and then silence. Mira shivered uncontrollably. The baby trembled in her arms. Heavy footfalls sounded around the room, with one foray into the lean-to. Through the cracks in the bin, she saw a light. Someone was searching with a lamp. And then she heard the voice of the handsome Roman, weak and breathy. "There is no one, I tell you. The midwife was not at home. We are alone. I delivered the child myself." To her horror, the baby in her arms started to whimper. Mira quickly placed her hand over the little face and whispered, "Blessed Mother, Queen of Heaven, don't let this baby be killed." She held her breath again and listened. Now there was nothing around her but darkness and silence and the moaning wind. She waited. With the baby pressed to her bosom, her hand over its mouth, Mira lay crouched in the corn crib for what seemed like hours. Her body began to ache. The baby squirmed, but still she remained in hiding. Finally, after what seemed an eternity, Mira thought she heard another voice in the wind. "Woman," it called. Cautiously, she raised up. In the gloom of pre-dawn, Mira could just make out a crumpled form on the floor of the room, and she heard the Roman call out weakly, "Woman, they have gone." There was pain in every joint and muscle of her body from crouching so long in the corn crib, and as she limped to the man's side, she saw that he was covered in blood. "They have taken her," he croaked. "My wife and the boy." Stunned, Mira looked over at the empty pallet. To have dragged a woman fresh from childbed and her newborn baby with her? The Roman raised a trembling arm. "My daughter, let me..." They came to slay the father, Mira thought, as she lowered the naked infant to the father's dying hand. And yet they took the mother and son alive. Why? "Her names," he gasped. "I must give her her names before..." Mira brought the baby's head down to the level of his mouth and watched his lips form her secret name. They came to slay the father, the name that was a child's spiritual bond with the gods, and which no mortal must hear because of its powerful magic. And then, out loud, he spoke her life name. "Selina. She is Selina." "Let me tend your wounds now," Mira said gently. But he stayed her with a shake of his head, and she saw why. The Roman lay sprawled in an unnatural position. "Take her away from here," he whispered. "At once, tonight. They must not find her. Hide her. Care for her. She comes from the gods." "But who are you? Who shall I tell her are her parents, her family?" He swallowed with difficulty. "This ring. Give it to her when she is older. It will tell her everything. It will lead her to her destiny. She belongs to the gods." As Mira slid the heavy gold ring from his finger, the Roman died. And in the same instant, the child Selina started to cry. Mira looked down and discovered in shock that there was something wrong with the baby's mouth, a small birth defect. And then she understood. It was a mark of the gods' special favor on the child. The Roman had spoken truly. This little girl did indeed come from the gods.